One, Dr. Clark here. I want to share with you a typical type of type 2 diabetic patient that I see in my office and kind of what we would do for someone to help them naturally support their body in this fight against type 2 diabetes. And really where this starts is we don't really treat the type 2 diabetes because that's a mistake. You stop treating the disease and really start treating the person and just look at them functionally, nutritionally, physiologically. There's a lot of powerful things you can do to save someone from the downward spiral that comes when you start taking medication and then you start eventually getting to where you're injecting insulin every day. Because we don't want someone to get to that point. I mean, yeah, some people supposedly have to take insulin, but when that day happens, you can pretty much just circle the calendar because they're going to be on their way down from that point because insulin is inflammatory. Anytime there's a surge of insulin, you get an accompanying surge in a cytokine, in an immune system messenger called interleukin-6. And it's inflammatory. It promotes inflammation. So I know a lot of people think, and a lot of people that come to see me that are struggling with prediabetes or metabolic syndrome, they kind of think that insulin is a savior. And maybe for some people it is because, you know, you've got to have insulin to get blood sugar into your cells. But the inflammation that comes from it can be a real catch-22. It's like the cure is worse than a disease sometimes. So what I'm going to share with you today is a 42-year-old patient named Adam. And he presented to me complaining of fatigue and kind of self-diagnosing himself with type 2 diabetes. And so we did a full metabolic workup on him. We looked at some blood chemistry, we looked at an adrenal stress index, and we looked at some food sensitivities. And the reason we did this is we always want to find out what's causing this particular person's type 2 diabetic presentation. So I'm going to show you some slides that kind of that are captures from his labs. I'll kind of show what we found. So the first thing that you notice when you look at his blood work is that his fasting glucose is normal by the lab range, and it's also normal from our functional range. Now, the next thing you look at here is hemoglobin A1C, and his is 6.6, and that's lab high. And it says increased risk for diabetes. Yes, greater than 6.4. Well, that's the lab's value for that. And remember, we use a functional range, and the functional range is usually narrower. But I can tell you that if he's got 6.6, that means that over the last 90 days, his blood sugar has been consistently high, and he's developing what's called glycosylated end products. And that's a big word, so we call them GEPs. And these GEPs will damage brain tissue. They will cause brain inflammation. Because remember, Alzheimer's is called diabetes of the brain. And I don't think it could be any more true of a statement than diabetes of the brain. That's exactly what Alzheimer's is. So Adam knows that he has a problem because he's got fatigue and he also has a lot of stress and he has some erectile dysfunction. And so we know right away, well, here's one of the reasons why. He's got elevated hemoglobin A1C. Now, if we look down at his total bilirubin, now that's we have to do a little differential on that. That's either a gallbladder or a liver problem. And we have to do a little further testing. Now, if we look over here at his ferritin, now ferritin is usually a marker that we look at for iron, but ferritin is also something that's elevated when you have inflammation. Let me show you how we know that Adam has a lot of inflammation, why this could be devastating for his wife and his family and his young kids. So, you know, we look at the LDL and all that, and I'm not going to get into that today, but his HDL is certainly low, and it needs to be higher. I would like to see it in the 50s, possibly even the 60s, before I start to get a little less worried for him. Now, C-reactive protein, cardiac, you see that? That's 9.75. That's lab high. That's three times the lab's really forgiving range, the high end. Now, C-reactive protein, that is an inflammatory marker. It's a marker of inflammation. So this patient has got a tremendous amount. He's got a wildfire burning in his body right now, and it increases his risk for a heart attack and stroke and atherosclerosis, and it could end up killing him. The next marker is homocysteine. Now, this is interesting. The lab's range for that is 15, and so he's at 13.1. So they flag that as normal. But here's the thing. When you go and look at the research that's been done that connects homocysteine to cognitive aging or Alzheimer's and loss of brain function, loss of the ability to think and dementia, what those research studies show is that when homocysteine's above 7, that's a problem, and that's what I go by. So for me, looking at this particular patient from a functional perspective, 13 is not going to fly. In fact, that's almost double what I would like to see it at, and that's a marker for inflammation. It's directly associated with brain atrophy, brain wasting, which is why diabetes can cause brain problems. The last couple things I want to show you is, if you look here, is vitamin D. It's 25-hydroxy vitamin D. Is low. It's lab low. Vitamin D is an important regulator of the immune system, an important regulator of inflammation. And so this particular patient's got several different things. He's got strikes against him. Now, what I thought was interesting is when I was explaining to him what was happening, he was like, you know, I've got to do something. I mean, this is, his words, not negotiable. I've got to do whatever it takes. And so when you see someone like this, or if you are someone like this, there's a couple different things you can do to try to, you know, get yourself back on track and avoid the hell, I'm going to call it, of insulin. And I think I'll talk about those in some future posts. But that's the type of markers that we look at. Now, his adrenal stress index, I think we'll go over another time. But that's some of the blood chemistry markers that we look at. And so does this guy meet the criteria for diabetes? Well, depending on who you talk to, yeah. But functionally, I don't really care about the label. What I care about is this guy has got elevated blood sugar. He's got tremendous amounts of inflammation. And something's got to be done, or his family's going to suffer, because he may not be around to watch his kids grow. So this is